From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak today. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the concluding portion of a message called Faith That Overcomes Depravity and Death, part of his series in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The second person memorialized in this chapter is Enoch. Enoch had a bright testimony for God before his translation. It's recorded that he pleased God. The secret was his unshakable faith in God, which was a response to divine revelation. Then Enoch's faith was operative in his translation. It's apparent from the scriptures that he was looking for that translation, and so he lived with his eyes on the invisible rather than on that which the eyes of flesh alone can see. In addition, Enoch's faith was observed even after his translation. The scripture says that he was not found, implying that he was missed by those among whom he had lived. As unpopular as his testimony may have been, those around him took note of his life. As the scripture testimony to Enoch demonstrates, a life of holiness and constant communion with God is what truly pleases the Lord. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 21. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Rahab depended for her preservation upon the promise of the spies, whom she looked upon as the representatives of the God of Israel. Her faith was simple and firm, but it was very obedient. To tie the scarlet line of the window was a very trivial act in itself, but she dared not run the risk of omitting it. Come, my soul, is there not here a lesson for thee? Hast thou been attentive to all thy Lord's will, even though some of his commands should seem non-essential? Hast thou observed in his own way the two ordinances of believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper? These neglected argue much unloving disobedience in thy heart. Be henceforth in all things blameless, even to the tying of a thread, if that be matter of command. This act of Rahab sets forth a yet more solemn lesson. Have I implicitly trusted in the precious blood of Jesus? Have I tied the scarlet cord as with a Gordian knot in my window, so that my trust can never be removed? Or can I look out towards the Dead Sea of my sins or the Jerusalem of my hopes without seeing the blood and seeing all things in connection with its blessed power? The passerby can see a cord of so conspicuous a color if it hangs from the window. It will be well for me if my life makes the efficacy of the atonement conspicuous to all onlookers. What is there to be ashamed of? Let men or devils gaze if they will. The blood is my boast and my song. My soul, there is one who will see that scarlet line, even when from weakness of faith thou canst not see it thyself. Jehovah, the Avenger, will see it and pass over thee. Jericho's walls fell flat. Rahab's house was on the wall, and yet it stood unmoved. My nature is built into the wall of humanity, and yet when destruction smites the race, I shall be secure. My soul, tie the scarlet thread in the window afresh, and rest in peace.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is. knees and bow the knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, as I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, How is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? And can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Try to get Christian victory apart from union with Christ are bound to fail because they haven't got to the root of the matter. The life that I now live in the flesh, he goes on to say, because Christ lives in me, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now what he's saying is, Christ loved me. Christ died for me. He gave himself for me. He rose again from the dead. He has united me to himself. He lives within me. In the eyes of God, I am one with Christ. Now, I am going to live and do all that I have to do in the light of those facts. And that's living by faith. It is bringing what you believe to bear upon the decisions you make. It's bringing what you believe to bear upon the situations you face. The gospel has always something to say about the things that you have to decide. Should I do this? Should I not do this? If it's a matter of moral indifference, then you should simply get the Lord's will. If it's a matter of real moral importance, then you'll find that the gospel will not even leave you to seek the Lord's will. It will simply give you a very clear directive. You don't need the will of God to be revealed any further, to find out whether you should thieve and lie or fornicate or whatever. You don't need the will of God to be revealed in those things. It has been revealed. You bring the gospel to bear in those things. What does the gospel of Christ demand for me in those things? What do I believe concerning Christ? What do I believe concerning my union with Christ? And what has that to say about these things? And I'll tell you, that will straighten out an awful lot of problems and an awful lot of decisions, and it will make clear an awful lot of things that are otherwise murky. But what's more than that, this is the all-important thing, it will give you the power, the grace, the ability, and the desire to do the things you ought to do. There's the difference between living by faith and simply living by guilt. So many Christians living by guilt. What I ought to do And I'm going to do it because I ought to do it, and they can't do it. Live by faith. Godly living must always be by faith. Second, faith always comes to God. Here's a chain reaction. You live by faith. Faith always comes to God. Notice this. Faith can only exist in fellowship with the Lord. You can't have faith unless you're living in fellowship. He who comes to God, number three, must recognize God's person. He must believe that he is. That's not just that he exists. It is that. Oh, how we need to be absolutely overwhelmed with the reality that God is. Living by faith, coming to God by faith, living in fellowship, is to be enveloped in the assurance that God is. To a believer, God is not the final point in a logical demonstration. It's a great question in theology as to the place and value of logical proofs for the existence of God. But let me say, to a believer, God is not the last line in an argument. God is the one apart from whom it is impossible for me to think anything, be anything, do anything. I can't live, breathe, I can't be awake, I can't be asleep, I can do nothing, I can be nothing. Apart from God, he is. But more than that, he is God. That's the absoluteness, the sovereignty, the almightiness, the holiness, and the glory of God. We recognize his person. When we come to God, let's get this. You're not coming to God at all unless you recognize who he is. This iniquitous, wicked, modern delusion that comes in the place of old-fashioned faith and fellowship. And I don't want to blame anybody for merely using the words, but I'm describing a whole attitude of simply saying, well, I have my devotions and I have my little bit to read, and then I have to go through my genuflections and say my little prayers, and there is never a moment to stop and let our minds contemplate the Godhood of God, the person to whom we come. This notion of devotions that nearly makes God our debtor because we do him the privilege of coming is far, far removed from the reality of coming to God. Recognize his person. The fourth thing, recognition of God's person creates confidence in God's promise. Believes that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It believes God's promise. How can you get faith in God's promise? How can you obtain it? Obtain a conviction of God's person. Once you see the Lord for what he is, once you begin to understand something of the glory of his person, you will not doubt his promise. We doubt his promise because we fail to know his person. Recognition of his person creates confidence in his promise. Five, confidence in his promise incites us to diligent prayer. When you have grasped the promise, you're going to pray. We don't pray. You can work backwards along this chain. We don't pray because we're not overwhelmed with the promise. We're not overwhelmed with the promise because we have not recognized the glorious person of our God. But oh, if only we see the Lord and have confidence in His promise, then we're going to pray. Number six, diligent prayer is the heart of true godliness and walking with God. He pleased God. Why? Because he was a diligent seeker after God. You can't live a godly life without prayer. You can't walk with God just by saying, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't go to the cinema, I don't do this. And man, what a holy little Pharisee I am. That's not walking with God. If that's walking with God, the Pharisees were the greatest walkers with God who ever lived. And the Lord Jesus said they were children of hell. That was strong language. Strong language. So you can say your prayers and be a child of hell. Notice I didn't say you can pray and come to God and be a child of hell. That's not true. But you can be a Pharisee and say your little prayers, go over your beads and read your Bible and learn your verses and go to church and fast and give. You can do it all and go to hell. But oh, true, diligent seeking after God. Do you notice what true prayer is? True prayer is not seeking after God's blessing. Oh, it will pray for the blessing, and what's more, it will get the blessing. But at secondary, true prayer is seeking after God. What does that say about our prayer lives? What do we know about seeking after Him? Lord, I need money. Lord, I need food. Lord, I need health. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, those are all legitimate things to bring to the Lord when you need. But I want to tell you, there's something radically wrong when praying never gets beyond those things to seek after God Himself. Because let me tell you, if you had all the money in the world and all the clothes in the world and all the wisdom in the world, you would still need the Lord. True prayer seeks after Him, and that is the heart of godliness and walking with God. Now we come full circle. It's walking with God and only walking with God that yields this testimony. He pleased God. Here's the faith that overcomes depravity and lets you walk with God amid sin. Here's the faith that overcomes death and lets you live in the hope and light of glory. Here's the faith that will please God. I wonder today, as we look at Enoch, and we listen to the Lord's sermon to you and me on Enoch, I wonder, is there a corresponding note in heaven that says, not only did Enoch please God, but there's a man, there's a woman, and they please God. Nothing else really matters. Not a thing in the world that matters. If you're not pleasing the Lord today in your walk and in your witness, your life's not worth the living. You're living for the wind. But if you're pleasing God, that's everything that counts. Now, if you're not pleasing God, and you're a Christian, I want to tell you, there is in your heart a conviction. There is in your heart a desire. I want to be an Enoch. I want to please God. I want to live a life that will please Him. Go back to them, the things that we have covered today. God has given you the sermon. Not mine, His. Hebrews 11 and 6. Learn from Enoch. Live by faith in the victory that overcomes both depravity and death. May the Lord make us such a people, pleasing to Him, honoring to Christ, victorious, whatever our surroundings.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.